Vikatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Vikatra AI.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here to, well, simplify some essential knowledge for you. And today we're diving into a philosophy that kind of quietly changed the game in sports, business, you name it. It's W. Timothy Galway's classic, The Inner Game of Tennis.
Yeah, and let's get this out right away. This is not really about how to hit a better forehand. I mean, the title's almost like a Trojan horse, isn't it?
Totally.
Galway's whole point is that your biggest challenge, whether you're giving a presentation or writing something creative or even just learning a new skill, it's not out there. It's, you know, inside your own head.
Oh, yeah, that voice, that constant critic analyzing everything you do, sometimes while you're doing it, that internal nagging. We've all felt that physical tension, right? When you're trying too hard. That's exactly it. Galway called it self-interference.
Yeah.
And our goal today is basically to unpack his toolkit for getting past that.
Yeah.
We're looking for that sweet spot of, like, relaxed concentration.
Mm-hmm.
Because Galway believed that's where peak performance actually happens. He had that famous line, didn't he? The opponent in one's own head is more formidable than the one on the other side of the net.
Sets it up perfectly.
Yeah.
So, okay, who was Timothy Galway? He wasn't just some psychologist looking from the outside in, right?
No, not at all. He was right in the thick of it, the outer game, as he called it. He went to Harvard, captained the tennis team there back in the 60s. So he knew all the traditional coaching methods, you know, the grip, the stance, footwork, the whole nine yards.
Right. But here's where it gets interesting. As a coach, he'd give all this super detailed, technically perfect advice. Keep your wrist firm, rotate those hips. But he noticed something weird.
Yeah.
His students, they often played worse. They'd stiffen up, get all self-conscious and anxious.
Ah, the classic choke. He figured out that the usual way of coaching, you know, the coach just talking at the student's conscious brain, it actually made that inner critic louder.
Right.
It sort of reinforced this idea that you need a mental checklist for everything, which just leads to, well, tension.
So he basically threw out the old playbook.
Yep.
He shifted from just fixing mechanics to something more, well, learner-focused, influenced by things like Zen and humanistic psychology, apparently.
Exactly. His whole approach flipped.
Yeah.
Instead of pointing out faults, he started trying to cultivate non-judgmental observation.
Asking players to kind of bypass that critical voice and just trust their bodies.
Precisely. And it worked so well, this whole inner game idea, that after the book blew up, he didn't just stick to tennis. He ended up consulting for huge companies, Apple, AT&T, Coca-Cola, showing that these principles work pretty much anywhere you need to perform well.
Okay, that background really lands the core idea of the book, which is this framework of the two selves, this internal conflict thing.
Yeah, Galway says inside every one of us, there are these two sort of entities. First up is self one. He calls it the teller. Think of it as your conscious mind, the ego, the part that talks a lot.
Self one. Okay, so that's the voice doing the instructing, the judging. Oh, you missed that easy shot? What was that?
It's the worrier, right? Obsessing about the score, regretting the last point, like an internal spreadsheet judge.
That's a good way to put it. And then you have self two, the doer. This is more subconscious, intuitive. It's your body, your deeper brain, the part that just knows how to do things fluidly, like how we learn to walk or ride a bike. No instruction manual needed for every tiny muscle movement.
Okay, wait, though. Self one is the conscious mind. Aren't we supposed to use that to learn and get better? How can the thinking part be the main problem?
Ah, that's the clever bit, isn't it? The issue isn't self one itself, it's the relationship between the two. The conflict happens when self one's constant nagging and criticism just overrides self two's natural flow, like that backseat driver analogy you mentioned.
Exactly. Screaming instructions at someone who actually knows how to drive. Performance tanks, anxiety spikes.
So the aim isn't to shut self one down completely, which, yeah, feels impossible, but to change its job description from angry boss to maybe a quiet observer.
You got it. The solution isn't about stuffing more technical tips into self one. Performance gets better when you subtract the mental clutter, not add more instructions. It's about achieving that non-judgmental awareness, letting self two do its thing, maybe even enjoy it.
Okay, framework established. So let's get into the practical side. How do we manage this internal battle, this inner game against fear and doubt? Galway talks about the overthinker, right? That helps illustrate it.
Mm.
Yeah, the overthinker. This is someone who knows all the theory, maybe they've read all the books, but they're just frozen by this mental checklist. As they try to hit the ball, self one is just yelling, bend knees, wrist firm, follow through, look confident, breathe. And the result is stiff, jerky, totally unnatural. That moment when you shift from just doing it to consciously controlling it and everything falls apart. Okay, so if self one is the issue, Galway warns us, right?
Yeah.
Trying to force your mind to be quiet.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's just self one trying to control self one.
Yeah.
Like trying really hard not to think about a pink elephant.
Mm.
You just think about it more.
Right.
The solution is way more elegant. You basically give self one a simple job, something non-judgmental that keeps it busy, takes its focus off criticizing. That frees up self two.
Okay, so what's in the toolkit? How do we do that?
Well, the absolute foundation is letting go of judgments.
Mm.
You stop slapping emotional labels on everything. So instead of self one screaming, that backhand was awful, I suck today.
Yeah.
You just observe, okay, the ball landed 2 feet out.
Just the facts. Takes the emotional sting out of it, the fear. It's just data, not a verdict on your self-worth.
Exactly. That non-judgmental observation gives self two your natural intelligence, the raw data it needs to adjust, without all the anxiety getting in the way. The body just kind of figures it out.
Okay, that makes sense. And the second big technique is about staying in the present, right? To stop self one drifting into past mistakes or future worries.
Yeah, focusing attention. Galway has some really concrete sensory things you can do. For tennis, the famous one is to focus super intently on the seams of the ball as it comes towards you, or even the logo.
Wow, that's specific.
Yeah, that detailed focus gives self one something technical to latch onto. Another great one is the bounce hit exercise. You literally say bounce out loud and the ball bounces and hit right when you make contact.
Huh, like forcing your conscious mind to sync up with reality.
Exactly. That simple rhythm anchors you in the now, gets you into that state of relaxed concentration.
I really like that. It's not telling self one to shut up. It's giving it a productive task that keeps it grounded in the present. Okay, so once self one is occupied and not judging, then we can trust self two.
And that's when the natural learning process kicks back in.
It's like the baby learning to walk thing he talks about. Babies learn by just doing, observing, falling down. That's just data, getting up, trying again.
Yeah.
They don't have self one telling them their failures after every wobble. Galway says we still have that ability, we just bury it under layers of adult judgment.
Mm-hmm. And this completely changes the role of a coach or even a leader. They're not just dishing out commands anymore. They become facilitators of awareness.
So instead of finish your swing higher, it's more like...
More like just notice the feeling in your shoulder right after you hit the ball. Or pay attention to the height the ball clears the net.
Yeah.
You're feeding data to self too, letting it make the adjustments.
You're trusting self two to self-correct, accepting mistakes as just feedback, not failures, letting the body find its own best way.
And this way of thinking also leads to a much gentler and, frankly, more effective way to change bad habits compared to the usual self one approach, which is just gritting your teeth and fighting them with willpower, which is exhausting.
Okay. How does the gentle habit change work? It's basically three steps. First, observe the old habit without judgment. Really feel what that stiff wrist feels like, but don't beat yourself up over it. Second, program the new habit. Maybe visualize the smooth motion or watch someone else do it correctly. Get the image or feeling in your mind. And the third step, third, and this is the kicker for self one, let it happen. Trust self two to integrate the new pattern. You have to allow for mistakes, for imperfection, as self two figures it out. No forcing, which sounds like it leads directly into that state of flow people talk about.
Galway makes a distinction, doesn't he, between trying really hard, that strained concentration.
Yeah, that self-one effort.
And that relaxed, absorbed focus, right? Flow is just being so completely absorbed in the now, in the sensory details of what you're doing, feeling the ball, seeing the court, that self-one just goes quiet. There's no room for distracting thoughts. And that focus, that stillness, that's where Galway redefines winning.
Ah, right. It's not just about the score on the board. The real win is winning the inner game. It's overcoming your own mental hurdles, finding that joy in effortless action, regardless of the external result. Okay, so let's boil this down. If we step away from the tennis court, what are the, say, three or four big universal messages here?
Well, first, definitely the power of non-judgmental awareness. Think about how often we get stuck, maybe at work or even in parenting, just replaying yesterday's mistake. Judging ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Total paralysis. But if you shift from, I screwed that up, to, okay, what actually happened and what can I learn for next time, suddenly you're moving forward instead of being stuck in shame.
Exactly. Second big one, the futility of trying harder, especially in creative fields or problem solving. When you hit a wall, just forcing it, that self-one strain often makes it worse. It adds tension when you actually need relaxation for insight, like stepping away, doing something simple, letting self-two work in the background.
Precisely. Third, really embracing trusting innate intelligence. Self 2 learns through feeling, images, experience, not dense instruction manuals. Like learning new software, stop reading every single help page. Just click around, experiment, feel how it works. Mistakes are just learning.
It reminds me of that beautiful metaphor he uses, the rose seed.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. The rose is a rose from the time it is a seed to the time it dies. Within it, at all times, it contains its whole potential. I love that. It's about being patient with ourselves, isn't it? Not judging the seed because it isn't a full bloom yet, just nurturing the process. Perfect. And maybe the last key theme is the constant importance of present moment focus. All those techniques, watching the seams, bounce, hit, they're just anchors. They pull your mind into the now, leaving no space for past regrets or future worries. Remember his line, fighting the mind does not work. What works is learning to focus it. Simple but powerful. Okay, let's make this super practical. Three quick examples of applying this off the court. How about public speaking?
Classic self one nightmare. By obsessing over every word, fearing judgment, that leads to a stiff, nervous delivery. An inner game approach. Maybe focus intently on connecting with just one friendly face in the audience, or focus on the feeling you want to convey, the sincerity. Let self too handle the words. The delivery becomes way more natural, more engaging.
Makes sense. What about in leadership? You see the self one versus self two battle there all the time.
Oh, absolutely. The micromanager. That's pure self one distrust. Constantly interfering because they don't trust self two, in this case, their team. An inner game leader sets clear goals, sure, but then trusts the team to figure out the how. They facilitate awareness, give non-judgmental feedback, but they don't constantly meddle. Fosters way more autonomy, better results usually.
Okay, last one. Our personal relationships, especially tricky conversations.
Yeah, tough talks. Self one is usually scripting rebuttals, judging the other person's motives while they're still talking. Inner game approach. Apply non-judgmental awareness. Really listen. Focus on their tone, their body language. Try to understand their meaning without self-one planning its defense. It lowers the temperature, leads to actual communication. You know, if I had to pick one thing from Galway that really surprised me, it's this idea that excellence often comes from subtraction, not addition. We're taught to pile on more effort, more instructions. Galway flips it. Sometimes you achieve more by simply removing the interference. Trusting what's already there.
Yeah, and for me, what I loved most was this liberating idea that the way we learned as kids, that playful trial and error absorbed way, it's still in us. We just need to quiet that inner critic to let our natural ability shine through again. So here's something to maybe chew on. If you stopped trying to force to consciously control just one thing in your life right now, what natural talent, what effortless skill might finally get the space to emerge? See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acotra Foundation.